Sounded dramatic, didn't it? Hey, it is good to see you guys today. Hey, we've been in a sermon series where we call it At the Movies. We have taken the Kendrick Brothers movies, the Flywheel, Facing the Giants, all those movies, if you've seen some of them, and there's about 8 or 9 of them, and so we took 8 of them and are watching them all through the summer, and so we're getting close to the very end of it all. We've got 2 more movies, I believe it is. No, 3 more movies, and so we got 3 more weeks of all of this, and don't let me, if you remember from last week, I'm going to mention this to you, and I'm going to trust you with this information, okay? I rarely do this. If I'm ever gone, I don't usually tell anybody. Because sometimes people go, oh, the minister's gone, so therefore I can take time off too, right? It's like I don't want to hang out with the substitute. And so, Keith is going to be preaching next week and the following week. And so, you know, listen, when I get back in town, if you need to go, like, I just got to take a break. Okay, I get it. I mean, I hope not. Hope that's not you. But if you do, you can take it on my tab, not on his. Okay, we want to make sure we encourage Keith. And so he will be unpacking Facing the Giants. And I think it's Courageous. I think those are the 2 he's going to be doing. So make sure you're here the next couple of Sundays. And I want to say thank you, by the way, if you're here in person, that you're here today. And so it's an incredible thing to see you guys. But we've had fun with these movies. I hope you've had fun. We've had watch parties all throughout. Particularly, Christina and Satina have done an incredible job with their watch parties. And some of you may have had, I had a private one at one point in time. But I enjoyed going to all the watch parties and having fun. It is fun to watch a movie with other people, because I like to make comments and, you know, kind of bug people a little bit. So if you don't like that, my apologies, but I just love to do it. Me and my boys do that all the time with everything, including sports. And so have a great time. And so it was fun to be able to do that with one another. And these movies have been impactful, have been great. And so I hope that you've really enjoyed it. And if you went, dude, where have I been? I didn't even know this was even going on. Then here in a little bit, there'll be a QR code, scan it, and it'll tell you where the next watch party is going to be, okay? And so it is a lot of fun. Make sure you can actually, if you want to host one, please do. That's a great thing to be able to do. This past week, we were talking about The War Room. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The War Room before, but it's an incredible movie about the power and the importance of prayer. And so today, we're going to talk about prayer, which is interesting because looking forward into the fall, we've got 5 sermon series already kind of mapped out, and one of those is going to deal with prayer, and in particular, it's going to deal with prayer and the Psalms. So what's interesting is we just sang that song, and Leslie said, hey, well, let's go make it personal, and we're going to sing You Being to God, right? And one of the things, just to let you behind the scenes a little bit, one of the things that Leslie and I always talk about when choosing songs is we try as best, well, I don't try, he tries as best he can to get songs that sing directly to God, right? So because it helps me, it should help all of us to be able to worship him, and it really becomes kind of a prayer. And what's interesting is in the fall, some point in time, whether it's September, October, we don't really know exactly when it's going to happen, we're going to be talking about using the Psalms as prayers. And one of the best ones is Psalm 23. Man, it's almost too easy to not use it as a prayer. And so we're going to teach you about that, but not today. Today we're just going to talk about prayer and kind of take the 10,000-foot view just a little bit. And hopefully we will encourage you. If you've never gotten in maybe to prayer with prayer, you're like, it's kind of weird, it's kind of odd. Or maybe you know that's something that you did a while back and then you just kind of lost it, right? You kind of lost connection. We want to help you with that. And if you already, like, you're just in it and you're like, yeah, okay, it's a part of my habit, we want to encourage you, and hopefully this will encourage you to make that a part of your habit as well. I'm not sure that you know this, but we have a couple of groups here for prayer. One is called, we don't really talk about it much. It's kind of under the radar. It's called the 70 Strong Prayer Group. A while back when we were at Parkview, when we were doing church there, we wanted to get 70 people that would sign up to be a part of the prayer team and that we would pray for everyone on the prayer list. And so I'm not sure that we actually have 70 right now. We probably don't. But we'd like to get there. And if we've got 70, then we'd like more. And so if you were like, dude, I'd like to be a part of that, let me know afterwards. We can get you signed up for that. And so basically everybody that's on that prayer team gets a couple of people to pray for. Like this week, I was praying for Marty Brownlee and for David Kimbrell. That's who I was praying for. And so just keeping them lifted up in prayer. So I only had two, which makes it super simple, right? I can remember who I had. And each week it's somebody different. And so it just kind of changes a little bit. Sometimes it's some of the ministries that we support in our missions. And sometimes it's those that are in need on our prayer list. And others, it's some of our leaders and some of our elders and some of our deacons and our ministry staff. And so Caleb and Landon, my two sons, they're on it as well. Caleb comes to church here, but Landon doesn't. But yet he's still on the 70 strong prayer team. And we actually have some people that aren't at MC3 that are part of that as well, which is kind of interesting. And Vicky Calhoun does a great job of churning that list out and changing up who is praying for who. And that's kind of fun. So that's kind of one way. Another way is this. So we started out as one text thread. Now it's on two different text threads because on iPhone, which is what I have, which is what everybody should have. But nonetheless, that's a different story, right? Sorry, Android people. But you can only have, my one gripe is you can only have 19 people on a text thread. And so we actually have more than that on a prayer text thread. So on my phone, I've got prayer group one and prayer group two. And so if someone were to text me last minute and say, hey, Art, I need you to pray for so-and-so or pray for this or pray for that, I can go, great. And I can take it. I can send it right to those groups and they can begin to pray. And it's kind of one of those instantaneous things where if there is an incredible need right off the bat, we can just be praying. And what's interesting is people that will respond and go, hey, praying for. And even several, I'm going to throw Abigail under the bus. Abigail does incredible prayers, and she'll actually takes the time to type it all out right there, which is absolutely phenomenal. And some of them I've actually copied and sent to those that have asked, hey, can you pray? And so it's been encouraging for some of them. And so that just kind of happens sometimes. But then also too, on Sunday mornings, 8:30, we have a group that is on Zoom and in person that pray. And so just before you got here, we prayed for you. Some of you, we don't know your names, but you came in. And so we were praying for you, praying for the others that we do know. We're praying for the service, praying for people that we know that are in need of prayer, that type of thing. And so at the end of the day, those are the three main groups that we have that are praying. And if you would like to be a part of some of those, we would love for you to be a part of it, especially Sunday at 8:30. Sunday at 8:30, we have shifted that from Tuesday nights to Sunday mornings, and we knew it was going to be tough because Sunday mornings are hard. It's a day built for sleeping in, and we get that. It's hard enough to get to church, but to be here at 8:30 to pray can be tough, and yet we have some that come on Zoom and some that come in person, and so if you'd like to be a part of that, let me know afterwards. We'll let you know how all that works. But I must confess, out of all those things, out of all the people that we've got, all those little different organizations or apparatuses for us to pray, I've got to tell you, and I'm confession time, I don't pray enough. And I don't say that from a position of, it's just poor, pitiful me or whatever. I'm telling you, I don't pray enough. I let the busyness of ministry often get in the way. And so therefore, I don't spend as much time as I should with the Lord in prayer. And so the encouragement here was an encouragement for me. As I was going through the sermon, I felt like the Lord was kind of, hit me on the back of the head. Not that he does that to us, but, kind of felt like that a little bit. Like, man, Art, you need to step it up a little bit, man. And so hopefully you'll feel a little bit of that too, if that's where you're at. I really felt convicted this week about the fact that I need to spend more personal time in prayer. Because as ministers, we think it's got to all be about the shoe leather and all the other things that are going on, right? I got to do this and got to do that. When a lot of times what I need to do is be praying. And so it is one of the most important things that we can do. I reckon probably we all could say that we need to pray more. but I definitely need to pray more. I think about James chapter 5, verse 13. By the way, I'm going to throw a lot of scripture, and I'm going to throw a lot of quotes at you today. Very little of my commentary. In scripture, in James chapter 5, verse 13, it says this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Right, which is exactly what we just did, right? Those are prayers of praise that we just sang just a little bit ago. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. We've done that before. We've done that in many different ways to different people. In other words, he's saying pray in all situations, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's in between, pray in all situations. And then he says in verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer, and he adds this, I love this little commentary at the very end. He says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and it's effective. And then he gives us an example. In verse 17, he gives us his example. He says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are, just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. You can find that passage of scripture right there. I believe it's in 1 Kings chapter 18. Prayer to me is interesting. It's powerful. It's wonderful. Prayer is strange to me. Prayer is strange. There's a strangeness to prayer. It's simple enough, and yet it's multifaceted. It's intricate. It's bizarre sometimes. It's curious, especially in how the Lord answers prayer. And it's wonderful. It's the way that we communicate and the way that we meet with God. I love how Ben Patterson describes prayer in his book. It's called God's Prayer Book. This is kind of the inspiration for prayers in the Psalms. It's not all the Psalms in here, but it kind of teaches you how to pray through some of the Psalms. By the way, if you want to know more about prayer, Ben Patterson is an incredible resource. Just Google it and get on Amazon. It's very interesting. One of the best books. I've had a couple of his books on prayer ever. Absolutely. But he says this, he writes this, he says, prayer is more than a tool for self-expression. It is more than a means to get God to give you what we want. It's a means he uses to give us what he wants and to teach us to want what he wants. And so it's very interesting because when you start looking at it, on some level, think about this, prayer is simple. Prayer is easy. Prayer is so simple that a child can do it. So simple that a child, and I'm going to tell you something. There was a time a few years ago where I just on Wednesday night, I kind of peeled back from the adults and went up and just kind of hang out with the preschool kids and kind of, taught them for a little while. And my most favorite time with them was their prayer time. That was because their young hearts are so pure. They just ask the Lord, which is the way that we should do that as well. And so prayer is so easy, so easy. Anyone at any time, in any place, can call on the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you, he'll be there. Scriptures talk about that. He will be there. We don't have to know the secret word. We don't have to have a secret passcode, come across our phone. You have that, right? Where you're signing up for something or you just want to sign into something you normally sign into and they got to give you a 6-digit passcode or whatever. There's none of that with the Lord, right? In order to get in his presence, all we have to do is just either drop to our knees or as we're driving in the car, just cry out to him. Anyone at any time, in any place, can call out to the Lord, and he's there. In fact, David wrote in Psalm chapter 18, verse 6, he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice up in heaven, and my cry came before him into his ears. Prayer is easy. It is easy. Any of us in here can do it, even if you've never done it before. All you have to do is cry out to him. And yet, as easy as prayer is also hard. If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it. Prayer is hard, especially it's hard when our prayers go unanswered. It's especially hard when our prayers go unanswered. It's in these moments that people often give up, right? They just often just give up. This is where faith kicks in when it comes to prayer. It's in these moments where we gotta know that the Lord is listening, that the Lord is hearing. We might sometimes say, if someone asks us about prayer, we might often say, well, God answers everyone else's prayers, but not mine. I've heard people say that before. Or, God, where are you when I need you the most? You're not here. God, why don't you answer my prayers? In his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, Bill Hybels has a little formula for unanswered prayers. He says, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. And if the request is right and the timing is right and you're right, then God says go. I've often said, and will probably continue to say this until I go home to be with the Lord, but prayer to me is an enigma. And the more you pray, the more you seek the Lord, the more of a mystery that it is. And as mysterious as it is, you would think that there would be more how-tos in the scriptures on how to pray. Andrew Murray, in his classic work, which, by the way, this book is really, really thick, it's called With Christ in the School of Prayer, points out that Moses gave neither command or regulation with regard to prayer. Even the prophets say little directly of the duty of prayer. It is Christ himself. It is Jesus who teaches us to pray. Interesting, God himself teaches us how to connect with him. So it's interesting that Jesus leans into this. And so we learn to pray, quite frankly, just by praying. Right? You can study it all day long, but really what you need to do is just pray. Just pray. When the disciples came to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray, Jesus gave them a template and said, well, this is how you should pray. And he just said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he kept on going. Here's what you pray. Ben Patterson aptly says that prayer is like learning a language. It's like learning a new language. He says the process of learning language is both complex and wonderful. It begins with a child listening to their parents, then mimicking and copying what they hear. But very quickly, mimicry turns into meaning. You know, right now, little Noah, he's just listening to mom and dad. I don't know if he knows any words from his ears at all of what they're saying. He just knows that mom and dad loved him, but at some point in time, you'll hear mama, dada, right? And then all of a sudden, then that language begins to be a part of who he is. So let me just say this. If you want to know how to pray, then pray. Don't stop praying. Don't stop. If you have to, begin to crawl in prayer. And then along the way, you'll begin to walk in prayer. And finally, you'll begin to run to God in prayer. But yes, prayer is hard. It is hard. But it's also easy. It's also easy to get into his presence if we really want to. Not only those things, not only is prayer easy, not only is prayer hard, but prayer is also crucial. As a follower of Christ, it is essential. Oswald Chambers said this. He says, to Jesus, prayer is everything. It's a duty as well as a privilege. It's a right as well as a responsibility. We tend to use prayer as a last resort, but Jesus wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else that we can do. Jesus wants us to pray before we do anything at all. Which is why Jesus says in John chapter 15, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He uses this illustration. He says that my Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful, which is why sometimes our prayers go unanswered. Sometimes our prayers go unanswered so that the Lord can see the faith that's within. It's in those moments that we struggle, that we go, God, if you'll just answer my prayer, if you'll just help me out here, it'll make my life a lot easier. And God said, yeah, I know. It would be great if your life was easy, but that's not going to help you with your faith. And so sometimes he prunes, and so he doesn't answer right away our prayers. Verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. But then he says this in verse 4. I want you to look at this. If you got a paper Bible, dude, I would underline and circle this part right here. He says in verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. How do you do that? What are you talking about, Jesus? He's talking about prayer. He's talking about prayer. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Prayer is how we remain in him. It is how we grow. It is everything. It is crucial for you and for me. James says in James chapter 4, verse 8, come near to God, he will come near to you. And so if we just cry out to him, he is there. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah has to say. He says in his book, Prayer, The Grand Adventure, The Great Adventure, he says, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. It is the greater work. Prayer was so important that this is the only subject that Jesus addresses twice in the Sermon on the Mount. It's the only subject he addresses twice. So out of everything that we do, out of everything that we do as followers of Christ, prayer is pivotal. It is pivotal. It is essential because prayer is where we meet with God. Prayer is where we meet with God. Prayer, as I define it, is stepping into the presence of God, speaking with God and God speaking with us, which is why every time we pray, we should always have our Bible open. Part of prayer is making sure that we read his word. Sometimes I find myself reading the word first and then praying because it's in the word where I start hearing God's word and I hear him speaking through his word and it gets my spirit ready. Because there are some days Art Stansberry ain't ready to pray. I'm ready to drink my coffee and just zone out on YouTube videos until it's time for me to go do my next thing. But when I get in to pray, when I'm supposed to be in, how do I get in there? Sometimes I just got to read the word. And that means we got to have a plan for that. And so we've got to make sure that we're reading. Some days I can just start praying and then read the word. But most days, man, I've got to read first. And so that's how I hear from God. It's how we hear from God. Prayer is God speaking to us and us speaking to him. And here's the thing. Think about this. When Jesus died for our sins on the cross, at the temple, there was this heavy curtain that was there that separated the people from God. It separated the regular part of the temple from the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest could go back to the Holy of Holies. And that was only one day out of the year that they could go back there. And so it was a separation between God and between man. When Jesus died on the cross, I think it was in Matthew chapter 27, when he spoke out, it is finished, tetelestai. In other words, I have paid for their sins in full. When Jesus had done that and he died and breathed his last and he died on the cross, the scripture says instantly there was an earthquake and that big curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Ripped open. It was that curtain was thick. It was not any small curtain. It was thick. And it tore in two so that it would let people have access to the Father. The writer of Hebrews says it this way: let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now we can. Now we can. Think about this. Now we can meet with God. So Landon, my youngest, down at Southern, he's doing his master's. He's got one more semester, found a job. So he's got a provisional. And so now we got to find a new apartment. And so Christy and I went down this past week on Wednesday to go help him find that apartment and kind of go around. And so we went down to Effingham County to where he's going to be. And so we went right to the middle school that he was going to be at. And so we pulled in the parking lot first, just kind of see it and go, okay, we couldn't go in or anything like that because they were closed for the holidays, but we were able to see it. And they were like, okay, let's go look for this apartment. And we went, okay, whoa, hang on. Let's pray. First thing we did. And we prayed that God would give Landon favor, that he would get us into to the right people, that we would find the right place for him, that he would bless Landon as he steps into that job in a few weeks. And so we just kind of prayed, just real quick, right there in the car. And then, zoom, we were off, right? And we went to go see several different apartment complexes. Probably the first one is probably where he's going to land, that sort of thing. And we got there, and we're like, okay, he's got to have this, he's got to have that. When he was at Southern in the apartment, everything came furnished. This does not come furnished. And so it was kind of crazy. We're like, okay, Lord, you got to provide. And that's one thing we asked for prayer for right there in that parking lot. Lord, provide everything that Landon needs. If this is of you, provide everything that he's going to need. Left it to it, right? And so we get back home, and yesterday I was sitting on the couch after getting home, and I was in my prayer time, and I get a call from Vinny Dowge. Vinny may be even listening right now, and so shout out, buddy. He texted me. He goes, hey, are you up? And I'm like, yeah. I said, yeah. I just went ahead and called him because I figured he was up since he asked me that question, right? And so I called him. I was like, hey, dude, what's up? And he goes, hey, I got a question for you. He said, do you know of anybody that can use a washer and dryer? I was like, yeah, I've got a young man in my, not in my house, but I got a young man on, that I'm putting the bill for on some things, right? That he needs one, right? So he's like, well, it's only a year old. And so I said, absolutely. I'm going to tell you, I'm so slow. I'm not all that smart. Okay, not the brightest bulb in the drawer, and so or the sharpest knife in the drawer. See, I've told you, that's not. And so, so this morning, I'm praying, and I go, oh, dude, Lord, you just answered that prayer that we prayed in the parking lot. It's amazing how God works and how God moves. And so, for you and for me, the important thing is that we seek after God. May not happen right away, right? May not happen in the next week or the next 2 weeks or even in the next year, but keep praying. Prayer is where we meet with God. We want to make sure that God knows he's the most important person, and so we put him first in everything, and so prayer is where we meet with him. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Moses met with God in a cloud. We get to meet God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father waits to join us in prayer. He longs to spend time with you in prayer. That's what God, he desires that. I like how Ben Patterson puts it. He says this, the best part of prayer is who you pray to. Answers to prayer are wonderful, but the answerer is better. The answerer is better. Spend enough time with Jesus and you'll start to look and think and act like Jesus. And so prayer is the place where we meet with God. It is heaven come down to earth. Wherever it is, we happen to meet with him, whether it's in our car, whether it's on our couch, whether it's here within this building. I like the fact that when you think about the scriptures, when Moses would spend time with God, he would walk away after meeting with God and his face would glow. You and I, when we're in prayer with God and we walk away, we're never the same. Never the same. If we walk away the same, we didn't do it right. We didn't do it right. Prayer is where we meet with God. But prayer is also where we are transformed. Prayer is where we are transformed. In 1949, a group of ministers in the Hebrides Islands off the coast of Scotland met to discuss the decline of their congregations. Many of the congregations were reduced to a handful of elderly members. And they got together and they made a pact to pray themselves out of the situation. Not to do anything crazy, but just to pray to God, to pray themselves out of the situation. Small groups began to form as they began to pray and they began to confess their own lack of zeal for the Lord. And they began to ask for God's intervention. They met in churches, they met in open fields, they met in barns, they met in homes. Their community and their churches were transformed by all of the prayers that were going on. Revival began to spread. You can look it up online, the Hebrides Revival. It's incredible. The revival spread to one town so powerfully that within 48 hours, the town drinking house was closed, boarded up, and never reopened. And the revival all started just with simple prayer. Just with prayer. I'm telling you, prayer is transforming. You want to transform your life? You want to help transform someone else's life? You pray for them. You pray. You got someone in your family that's lost and outside of Christ. You got someone that's got issues with addiction and other things. You begin to pray. You begin to pray. Prayer is transforming. I'm not sure the disciples knew exactly what they were asking when they asked Jesus. Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Man, their lives were never the same. Never the same. Neither were the lives of those that they ministered to. Never the same. Prayer is where we are transformed. And it makes sense. It just makes sense because prayer is humbling. Prayer is humbling. It just is. Because it relies on God instead of relying on ourselves. Some of the things that we pray for, you may go, oh, that's kind of dumb. Why do you pray for that? Why wouldn't I pray for that? Why wouldn't I ask God to help me? Right, even in regular tasks, Joshua is sometimes when he's going to do a job, he's done. I didn't do anything. I just hand him tools, and so he was doing breaks. You don't want me doing breaks because I'll never stop. So we were like, hey, let's pray beforehand, right? And so let's just pray that everything will turn just fine. Nothing gets locked up. Nothing gets broken. Nothing gets busted. And we prayed, and man. Super simple, right? Just boop. The Lord greases the groove. Why not pray before that? Why not pray? We pray as a family, we pray before going on a trip. Lord, watch over us, guard us, guide us. Help us not to cause harm to somebody else. Help us not to be idiots and stupid, right? And veer into somebody's lane. Keep our car running well. All the mobile parts mobile. All the stable parts stable. Keep all the air and the fluid where it's supposed to be, right? Get us where we're going to go, Lord. That type of thing. We pray for that. You're like, well, why would you pray for that? I mean, that's kind of dumb. No, it's not. It's important to pray. We pray for the simplest of things because we want to invite God in. We understand that He's the one that runs everything. We rely on Him for everything. Even the next breath I breathe is from Him. Prayer is humbling. I think about that passage of Scripture, especially in light of the fact that we just celebrated 250 years of our independence. Sometimes you'll hear people kind of mention this for our nation because obviously we're not a perfect nation, right? If my people, right? Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Jesus is the one that we rely on. It's right there in John 15. We just read it a little bit ago. He says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. We're the branches. We're not the vine. We're just connected. The branches don't do anything but just stay connected, right? They make sure the fruit is they're connected enough that they got fruit, but that's it. They don't do anything. The vine does it all, right? It's the one that's what pulls in the nutrients. It's what creates the fruit. All we do is we hang on for dear life. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But he goes on to say this, apart from me, you can do zero, zilch, nada, nothing, nothing. Man, prayer is humbling because it places total reliance on God. And we like to think that, man, I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I do pretty much what I want to do, and I can do it pretty well. I get it, man. Me too. But also, too, I just rely on God every step I take. He's the one that has given me breath in my lungs to be able to do the things that I can do. He's the one that gives me strength every day. There's going to come a day that you and I hate to say it, aren't going to have breath in our lungs. We're just not. There may come a day where we're not going to have the strength that we had in our youth. And we're going to need him to step in and help. Prayer is humbling because it places total reliance on God. But not only is prayer humbling, but also too, prayer is powerful. So why not tap into that power? Why not tap into that? James, we just read it a little bit ago, 5:16, we'll read it again. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is powerful because it calls on the one who is all powerful, right? Has nothing to do with the prayer, although it's important for us to pray in faith. But it has everything to do with the one who is all-powerful, the Almighty, with God, right? And in prayer, he does incredible things. Incredible. We have seen in our prayer groups, we have seen incredible things happen. We mentioned one, I know he's watching online right now. He's not been able to be here because he's had cancer. But he had the kind of cancer that you just go home and just go get your affairs in order. You're going to be checking out of this life soon type of cancer. Stage 4, we can't do anything for you. Sorry about your luck kind of cancer. So what do? We prayed for Sonny. What happened? The doctor gets in and goes, cancer's gone. I can't explain it, right? That's the kind of stuff that we see. And it happens sometimes even in the little things. And the little things aren't really little things. Right? Not to God, maybe to us they are. But there's just, so I look and go, see how God works. See how God moves. God does. He works in things. I've shared this before. I'll share it again just for your encouragement or for those that may not have heard it before. But maybe you've heard the story about the missionary serving in a small field hospital. He was home on furlough. And he was telling this story. He was recounting the story to a congregation that had supported him and how he traveled every 2 weeks by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This required camping overnight halfway. So he'd get halfway, he'd have to camp, then go on and repeat on the way back. On one of those trips, he saw two men fighting, and one was seriously injured. So he treated him and witnessed to him and then returned home. And went camping or whatever, right? But on his arrival several weeks later, he was approached by the man that he had treated earlier. And he told the missionary that he knew that he carried money and that he carried medicine. And he told him how he and some of his friends followed him on the day that he was treated into the jungle to kill him and steal his supplies. That was their plan. But as they approached his camp, there were 26 armed guards that surrounded the camp. And they counted them. 26 armed guards. So the missionary is telling this story back in Michigan to this church. He's just relaying all what had happened, how God had taken care of him. And the missionary said that he laughed at the guy and assured him that he was the only one out there. There were no armed guards. He didn't have any armed guards. He was the only one out in the jungle. And at some point in time, as he's telling this story to this church in Michigan, somebody in the audience begins to stand up, and one of the men asked him, kind of interrupted him in the middle of his sermon, and said, "Can you tell me the exact date that happened?" And the missionary went back to his journal and recalled the date, and the man said, "That's the exact moment that I was preparing to play golf." He said, "I went to take my clubs and I put them into the car, but then I felt this urge. The urge was so great that I didn't go play golf. I called several of the men of the church and we got together and we prayed for you." And about that time, the missionary said, "Well, if you prayed for me on that day, would you stand up?" 26 men stood up. 26 men stood up. I'm telling you, prayer is powerful. If you are not praying prayers of protection over you or your family, can I just say it very simply? You're stupid. Because the enemy is real and he is out to get you and to get your whole family. So you need to be praying prayers of protection over you and your family. I do it all the time. I pray, God, and I name my Caleb and Jess and Maddie and Noah and Landon and Christy and myself, I pray, you know, God, cover us with your blood, because his blood saves. Surround us with your warring angels. I don't want any just angel, sorry, you know, I'm sure they're very powerful, right? But give me the warring angels, right? Give me the ones with the flashing swords and all that sort of thing, because the enemy is out there. You need to be praying for protection over your family. You need to be praying for that. I'm telling you, prayer is powerful. I think it's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, just as we learned in the movie War Room, prayer is where the spiritual battle is fought. My boys used to watch the show Supernatural. If you've ever seen that, I think it was back in the 90s, you know, and they would, you know, holy water and squirt guns and salt, all that stuff's a bunch of hooey, right? Crucifixes, forget all that junk. Forget all that stuff. You want to fight the battle? You want to fight the spiritual battle? You do it on your knees. You do it in prayer. There's a scene in War Room where I believe her name is Elizabeth, is praying for her family, and she's in her prayer closet. So I thought I'd just kind of show you this clip real quick, if you got it in the back.
Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Devil, but I know you can hear me. You have played with my mind and had your way long enough. No more. You are done. Jesus is the Lord of this house. And that means there's no place for you here anymore. So take your lies, your schemes, and your accusations and get out in Jesus' name. Sure can't have my man. This house is under new management, and that means you are out. And another thing, I am so sick of you stealing my joy, but that's changing too. My joy doesn't come from my friends, it doesn't come from my job. It doesn't even come from my husband. My joy is found in Jesus. And just in case you forgot, he has already defeated you. So go back to hell where you belong and leave my family alone.
Ephesians 6 talks about the enemy, but we need to be aware of the enemy, but not be afraid of the enemy. I like how God has given us spiritual armor to put on. It's right there in Ephesians chapter 6. How we put that armor on, though, in prayer. It's in prayer that we put that armor on. I'm reminded of what Augustine wrote about prayer. He said, pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you. It's really good advice. In fact, I would say that's probably a good rule of thumb for most of us. But the problem is, and I've had a hard time thinking about this, of doing this, of putting this advice into practice. I usually try to do everything as if it depends on me and pray when it all falls apart and it doesn't work out. Anyone else ever been there before, right? The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Sometimes those prayers are prayers of warfare. Sometimes there are prayers of thanksgiving. Sometimes there are prayers of thanks. Sometimes there are prayers for the people that that need healing. Different kinds of prayers. He says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And we know the early church put this into effect. We're told that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, which tells me the early church really did depend on God as if everything depended on him. And so what do we do? How do we make this a priority? How do we make prayer a priority in our lives? Number one, make prayer a daily habit. Make prayer a daily habit. Set a time, be consistent, have a plan. It's super simple. It's easy. Pray. Pray, read God's word, make that plan out. Make a prayer list out. Make this a non-negotiable for you. You're going to sit down and you are going to pray. I'm going to tell you something. Probably one of the best things I ever did was grab one of these kind of notebooks and just start writing out prayers. Just writing out prayers. It helps keep me focused. And so maybe the part of that plan for you is, you know, going to Walmart, buy one of those 99-cent, I don't know if they're 99 cents anymore, those composition books or whatever, and just start writing your prayers out. Make it a non-negotiable that that's exactly what you're going to do, that you're going to follow after him, that you're going to meet with him every morning or whenever the best time for you to meet with him is. Make that a priority. Number two, have a dedicated space to pray and read God's word. That you know that when you step into that place, that's what you're going to do. Maybe it's the exact chair. Maybe it's a particular room. Maybe it's just wherever. Make a place and a space that when you step into it, you know that's the time for you to meet with God. That's where you're going to meet with him. Number three, make your prayer specific. Be specific to him. Not, Lord, I pray that you would just kind of take care of everyone. Name them. Spend some time naming the people that you're praying for. Be specific. If you have focus issues, get a journal. Write your prayers out. Pray out loud if you're the only one in the house or if you don't give a rip, anybody else hears you, right? I think about John Wesley's mother who in a one-room house, she would take her apron as she's sitting in her rocking chair and she would flip it over her head. And her kids knew, don't mess with mom while she's got the apron over. She's praying to God. Whatever works. But make your prayer specific. Number four, have someone to keep you accountable. Have someone to keep you accountable. Well, I'll regularly kind of ask you, hey, how are you doing your prayer time? Hey, how are you doing with that? Are you still doing it? You still going? Are you still making it, you know? Maybe a couple of you get together so that you keep one another accountable. And number five, this is probably the hardest part, just pray. Just do it, right? Nike said it, just do it. Just start praying. Just start praying. We need to pray now more than ever before. We look to the great men and women in the Bible of old, and we see how they made prayer a priority. We see how God worked and moved in their lives. men like Noah and Enoch, who it said, the only two men it's ever said they walked with God, Noah and Enoch. How about women like Hannah? Hannah, who prayed and prayed and prayed for her son, and when her son Samuel came, she dedicated him to the Lord. Or how about men like Daniel? Daniel is probably one of the most unsung prayer warriors all throughout Scripture. Daniel met with the Lord three times a day to pray and was put into a lion's den because of prayer, but didn't give a rip. He still prayed anyways, with the window open so everybody could see him. How about women like Mary, who prioritized sitting at Jesus' feet above everything else? But probably the best prayer warrior of all times, the greatest person of prayer of all time, was Jesus. Jesus. We see Jesus time and time again, meeting early in the morning to meet with his heavenly Father. These are examples after example after example of those who made prayer and meeting with the Lord a pivotal part of their lives. I love how Dr. David Jeremiah puts it. He says, God wants to meet your deepest needs. He wants you to see, know, taste, and experience him in ways that will shake you to your core. He stands ready to reveal himself, enfold you with grace and his love, speak to you with power, touch you with his grace. He has waited for you, and he has waited for you to jump into this moment. And so are you ready? Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to continue to meet with the Lord? Are you ready to reconnect if you have kind of lost that connection with the Lord? Are you ready to spend time with your Heavenly Father who loves you more than you will ever, ever know? If you're ready, we're going to get ready to start in just a second. Probably the best part of our service is going to happen right now because you get to play a part in this, right? Everything else that happens up here, I mean, I know you get to sing and you get to do all that, but this is where you just take it and you run with it, and that's in communion. That's in our time in communion. Every Sunday, we have these emblems before us. They speak of God's great love for us. The bread represents his body that was broken for us on the cross. The cup represents his blood that was poured out for you and for me. And so every Sunday that we partake, every Sunday that we gather around these tables, we're reminded of what Jesus did for us at the cross and at the tomb, how he died for our sins and paid for our sins in full so that we could meet with God, so that we could have a relationship with him. And so now we get a chance as we partake, whether we take it back to our seats, whether we take it here and go back to our seats and pray, whether you go to the prayer tables on the side and kneel and pray, we get a chance to meet with God in prayer, to say, God, it's me. Here I am. Here I am again. Or here I am. It's been a minute. It's been a while. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord God. What's interesting is now we can meet with God in prayer. Now we can have relationship with him because of what he's done at the cross and at the tomb. And so today as you partake, remember his sacrifice. Remember his love and his power. Remember how he has made a way for you to be saved. Absolutely. But also remember that he deeply desires to spend time with you in prayer. He deeply desires that. And so you and I get a chance right now to either continue that or maybe even begin that for the very first time. And so I'm going to pray, and they got two tables down front, two tables in the back for communion. We just encourage you to get up, come and take it. You can take it back to your seats. I'll be over here if you need someone to pray with you. I'll be happy to pray with you today. If you've got questions about what your next steps are with the Lord, I'll be happy to answer those questions. But don't let this time pass by. Don't just rush through it. Don't just throw the bread in and slam the cup and just kind of go on. Make this a time where you can spend with him. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you. Lord, thank you for prayer. Thank you for the simplicity. And thank you, Lord God, for the enigma that it is. Lord, I guess if I were to be able to figure out prayer, that means I figure you out. And there's no way that's happening. And Lord, I thank you that when we pray, that you do answer our prayers. I believe, Lord God, you answer every one of them. But sometimes, Lord God, you don't answer them right away. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that there are times where we don't have answers to our prayers. I thank you that sometimes the answer is eventually yes. But I also thank you that sometimes the answer is eventually no. Lord, I thank you that that sometimes you don't give us what we want, because what we want sometimes isn't a good thing for us, but you give us what we need, what's important. And so, Father, I pray you would just help us as we have this incredible, strange relationship with you, Father God. Lord, as we figure it out together, Lord, as we walk with you, I thank you that you walk with us. And Lord, I just come before you. I just want to say thank you for prayer. What an incredible tool that you've given to us, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to encourage one another to continue in those prayers, to continue to seek you, to continue to step into your presence, and to continue to listen to what you have to say to us. And so, Father, right now, as we partake today of communion, Lord, we first say thank you. Thank you for paying for our sins in full, for allowing this to happen, for allowing us, Lord God, to be able to meet with you and you with us. Father, I pray that you would bless us, Father God, as we pray, Father, that you would begin to speak to us on who it is we need to be lifting up in prayer and what we need to be praying for. And so, Lord, I pray that as we continue this journey with you, Lord God, that you would just walk with us, Father, as we walk with you. Thank you for being our good, good shepherd. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.